Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and take us into the depth and the riches of this your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. For our daily reading today, this is just something I've added. The little book that I get, it has daily readings in it. It kind of gives us something to think about as we get started into our service. The title of this is The Eternal Purpose of God. God has a reason for everything he does. He created each one of us with a definite purpose in mind. Everything in the world has a purpose. The earth, the sky, the mountain, trees, river, birds, and animals all testify of God. God is real, and he takes pleasure in the things he has made. At the creation, after he finished each part of the new world, God saw that it was very good. In today's Bible reading, the Apostle Paul wrote about God's eternal purpose in saving the Gentiles, all people who are not Jews. He wanted to help everyone see the fellowship of the mystery. Maybe we have wondered what this mystery actually was, which Paul mentioned. Everyone loves a mystery. God called the family of Abraham to populate the land of Canaan and to serve him faithfully. God's plan was to show the world his will for every soul through these people. Out of this large family, God chose Mary, a young Jewish girl betrothed to Joseph, to be the mother of God's son, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Through Jesus Christ, every person of every race on earth can be saved from sin. Paul's work was to make all men see this wonderful mystery revealed and to help them understand that Jesus died for all, not only the Jews. Christ can dwell in every heart by his Spirit and redeem every soul from sin and spiritual death. If we repent of sin, believe on God's Son, and love and obey him, since all have sinned, God, in his great love, has provided salvation for all through Christ. This is the mystery revealed. And may it give us something to think about today. I'm going to be coming to you this morning from the 13th chapter of Romans. We've been traveling through Romans, and we've picked up a whole lot. But there's still more out there for us to know and to learn. We are living in the last days, and we are living well into the last days. In fact, we really don't know how much longer we've got. And I don't believe that mankind's got too much longer. And if we're not ready, then we're going to miss out. And we need to be working because, you know, there is a chance that even some that are born again children of God, they're going to miss out on their reward. And they're going to be in heaven without having any reward at all because they just want to sit and do nothing for God. That don't work. And we're told we're here to bear fruit. And that means we are to get out into work. Work is not going to get you and I salvation. We work because we have salvation. That lets others know because we are really being watched today. Everyone that goes by the name of Christian is being watched. They're watching to see how you live your life and if you're actually living what you claim to be. And the more we look around, the more we're seeing it. But the things that we've been told to watch for, we're seeing more and more of it every day. We know that God can't be very far off. We really need to be working, especially within our family and our friends. I know I've got more work to do within my family. Because I've got family that are not saved, not living right at all. We can't make them do anything. But the Lord is expecting you and I to do our part in trying to get it done and in sharing with them his love, and then we need to walk in a way that they see the Lord Jesus in us and want what we have. And we can reach a few more, hopefully, along the way. We've all got friends that are not right. We've got friends that are not saved at all. And then we have friends that are, as we call it, babes in Christ. They need more strength. They need more knowledge. And that's what we're to do. When we become a born-again child of God, God has a work for each and every one of us. But he tells us all to go and teach the gospel. That's why he said on the day of Pentecost that he was going to pour out his spirit upon our sons and daughters, and they would prophesy. Now we know there are certain things that we have to live by, especially within the church. But today the church is not doing its job either, for the most part. And a lot of our churches better get right, because they're going to miss out too, because they're misteaching a lot of things today. All right. Coming back now, getting into chapter 13, beginning here with verse 1, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the high powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. But now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." All right. As we stop there, we're going to back up here, take a little deeper look at some of this stuff. Because I know we've got people out here that's hearing this message this morning that's online that needs a lot of this stuff. And we've got people out there that needs a better understanding of some of it. Because they may sit in church, but if they happen to be in one of these weak, watered-down churches, they don't have the right understanding. The situation that we are living in right now is a good example. 2 years now, we've been living with this COVID-19. The government has told us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. It's told us to shut our doors, when we could open them, and all of that. You know, most of our churches listened to it and followed them. And they got a lot of that out of this very chapter. Tell them, Lord, you're supposed to be obedient to the law of the land, your government. We are. Until they tell you to do something that's against the word of God and against him. And shutting his house up is strictly against his word and against him. Oh, now, Pastor, no, that ain't so. Yeah, it is. Because we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When you shut that church door, that's exactly what you're doing. Why do we walk in fear? God didn't give us fear. If you've got fear in you, God didn't put it there. It's just letting you know that there's something in your life that shouldn't be there. There's something missing. Now, this very first verse says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, we're talking about two different powers here in this chapter. Not just one, but two different ones. We're talking about our government for the nation. But we're also talking about the government of the church. And mainly of the church. But it is letting you and I know that God has ordained even the powers of our government. That's why you and I are told that we need to take part in our government by making sure those that we put into office are those that believe in Almighty God. Because when the righteous rule, everything will work good. But when we got evil in there, we see right now what that brings, and they're after more. They've got a lot of things right now already in the works. But once they get it through, you're going to be awful unhappy. You may think, oh, it'll be all right, it'll be good. No, it won't be. There's coming a day to where you won't buy anything with cash. They're already working on that. You'll be told where you can go, when you can go. And if you don't carry that number or that mark, you're not going to buy or sell anything. No food, no clothing, no nothing. And that's not as far off as we would like to think. Things that are already being worked out right now. It just hasn't been put through yet and passed. But it is in the works. It's scary. But you know, there's one thing about it. Those of us that belong to him, we don't have to fear. He'll take care of us. Yes, we're going to face a lot of things. We're going to face a lot of trouble. And there'll be a lot of us that will even be put to death right here in this country. They're already doing it overseas and in several places that they are doing it. We need to be praying for all of mankind, really. Because, for the most part, most don't know and understand the ways of God. Just like what's going on in Ukraine right now. But thank God, so far, there's been 3.3 million make it out of there. That's quite a few. And they're still working and bringing more out all the time. All because, really, one man wanted to go against that country. His own people. A lot of the Russian people don't want this going on. We've got churches right there in Russia. And a lot of people, a lot of Russian people don't want this going on. And we need to be praying that they will stand up and stop all of this. But anyway, we know that God has ordained for you and I to have a government over us. But it should be a government that is headed up by those that believe in him. He goes on here and too, he says, whosoever therefore resists the power resisteth ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, he's beginning, though, now to talk about the government of the church. Because, you see, those that are the leadership of the church should be ones that are called by God to hold the work and the leadership they are in. If they're not, and they have not been called and sent by God, they don't really need to be there. And we need to stand up and let things be known. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Now that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to stand against the evil. And we're not supposed to be up here to terrify those that are out here doing a good work. And doing a good work within the church. We're not there to terrify them. We're not there to talk about them, talk against them. We don't all work alike. We're not supposed to, because we each have a different job. God has seen to that. He goes on here now to tell us that that's what he's talking about here in verse 4. He says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. I'm here to minister what? What am I to share with you? I'm to share with you the word of God that is spoken through me by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit don't speak through me, then I need to keep quiet. Not my thoughts. Not my will, not my wishes, and my wants, but what God wants, what his word is, what his word says, and the words that are given to me by the Holy Spirit, those are the ones to speak. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Why? Why should they be afraid? For he beareth not the sword in vain. What sword? I don't carry no sword. Not that you can see. But yeah, I've got one. That's the word of God. And that's what he's talking about here. That's the sword he's talking about, is that word of God. And we don't carry that word in vain. For he is the minister of God. That's why we are to walk, those that are born again are to walk filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There's no other way for you and I to walk. He's also a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We're supposed to control the church, yes. But see, you see, that's why we have leadership in the church. You don't have just the pastor. A church is to have help with the pastors. He has deacons. He has teachers. And they should have meetings quite frequently so that they can all know and understand how the church is operating, how everything is within it, and everything needs to be kept open and above board. That's the reason every now and then I let the church know what we do have monetary-wise. Hopefully one day we'll have enough in here that I can have a treasure. So I won't have to take care of that. We're going to need a secretary. And we're going to need to where we can have a few more deacons. And all. I'm working right now on something God gave me to do, to see about bringing a few more in. I'm going to be opening up every evening, probably within the next couple of weeks, because I've got things to do in order to be able to get that done. I've got some signs to make and things that way. I've got one that's going to be working with me to help me get this done. I'm printing up some more handbills. I'll share them with you, because you'll know what these handbills say. In fact, the brother's picking up one today to bring tonight for my approval. I told him, well, I can trust him. I told him, I said, you look at it. If it looks decent, tell him, go ahead and print the rest of it. He said, well, yeah, but I'd rather you'd make that final decision. I told him, I said, no, just go ahead. You know how it looks. If it looks all right, looks appealing, tell him, go ahead and print them. You get them that much quicker. But anyway, I don't know. It's going to state name of the church, the address, and in under that, it'll read, do you want or need prayer? Stop, check us out. Come and help us to rebuild the church and praise Jesus with us. And then it will list to the pastors. All right, with our phone numbers so that people can call us. Hopefully, we may get us a few more from this area right here, in here. And I'm like this. I'm going to start with 100 of them. And if we can get 2 or 3 more coming out of that 100, it's well worth it. Then we'll just get another 100, put them out. I wanted to share that with you to let you know, because that all comes in under the government. I had talked to you, Brother Dennis, about it. I had also talked to Kenny and told Kenny about it. And we've had quite a talk. All right, verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You see, we need to have a clean conscience, because we don't let no evil get even in our minds. Now, Satan's going to try to get there. He's going to try to put it there. Just don't let it stay. We can't stop him from bringing it against us, but we can get rid of it. Because the one that's in us is stronger than he is. So we don't have to continue with it or accept it at all. When it hits, tell it to leave. Go. In Jesus' name, it's got to go. There's a lot of things the church is missing today because they are not accepting and taking what God has given to us. We've got people that are sick out here that really don't need to be sick. They are not accepting the healing that God has already gave. We go to God and a lot of mankind do. They get sick and they'll go to God and they'll pray, Lord, come and heal me. You're wasting your breath. He's already gave it. He gave it at the cross. We're healed by the stripes that was put on Jesus. By his stripes, we are healed. What we have to do is accept it and take it. We do that by faith, just like you do your salvation. You accept salvation by faith. But it's hard to get people to understand this. They think, no, you got to beg God for this and beg God for that. No. You see, you're working against yourself when you do that. You let him know, Father, I'm sick, and I'm accepting that healing power, and I'm thanking you for it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And you keep that up. Keep thanking him and keep believing that you are healed. Not you will be. You are healed, regardless of what this old body tells you. But then you'll find that it happened. You know, I told you what had happened to me. I've told the whole church and all that listened to me about what happened and why it happened. And it had gotten to the point to where my air was an oxygen level wasn't what it should have been. Nor was my heart rate. In fact, my heart rate was getting dangerously high. When you get up to 111 heart rate, you're getting in bad territory. That hadn't quite reached stroke area, but it's getting close. And my oxygen would drop down into the 70s. When the doctor sent me home, he sent me home on oxygen. If I had to go somewhere or something where I would be off oxygen just a few minutes, my oxygen hit bottom. And you know it. And of course I had pain and all. I just said, Lord, this is not going to work. I know that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm laying claim to it now. And I'm thanking you for my healing. It didn't happen right that minute. But I just kept thanking him. Now, I can be off of my oxygen all day. My oxygen level will run in the 90s. And my heart rate will run in the 70s. All because of the Spirit of Almighty God and because I was standing on God's Word and accepting what He had already given to me. We can see a lot of things happen, but we have to accept what God has given to us. All right. 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. I don't ask for anything monetary-wise, for being a minister of the gospel. God's always taken care of me. I have never needed it yet. Now, if it ever got to the point where I need it, it'd be a different thing. But I've never needed it. Always had work. Always been able to do the work. Had income that would take care of me. Wasn't a rich man or a wealthy man in the ways the world look at it, but I had what I needed. And for the most part, what I wanted. 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And you know, that's another thing we need to understand. We don't need to be looking for all of that thing, that stuff. I don't ask mankind to honor me. Honor the one I serve. Give him the custom. Give him the honor. Give him the tribute. Because he's given to me everything I have. And I don't need the approval of mankind. As long as I have his. And that's what we all are. Or should be. We know all are not, but that's the way they all should be. Owe no man anything. What he's talking about there, he's not talking about just pay cash for everything. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you and I. Don't ever let you do something for me that's going to cause me to owe you to where you're going to expect someday for me to do something with you or for you that would be against Almighty God. That's what he's talking about. But to love one another, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, loving one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We're to love our enemies. We're to love our neighbors. In fact, we're to love them even more than we love ourselves. And, you know, they could come a time that it can really cost you. That love can really cost you. Because he also tells us that we're to love each other enough that we could even be willing to lay down our life for them. That's a deep love. But to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. How much of this is really going around today? And it's in our churches as bad as it's in the world. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, how much of that's going on? You don't even see that. You don't see that even in the churches today. Everything got to be me. Now, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We need to be praying for our neighbor. We need to love them to the extent that when they are in need, we are always right there to help in whatever way we can. But we don't see a lot of that going on either, do we? Not in this day and time. Excuse me a moment. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And boy, that's something we need going on today. We need to come awake, see what's going on, quit sleeping, quit sitting back, get off of our backsides, and get out here and get on the move and start moving and talking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ and about getting them into the church. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Getting closer all the time for all of us. One day we're going to step across, step out of this life. We're going to move. Now, the church has heard me say many times, those that are born again, that are born again children of God, you, yourself, will never die. Oh, yeah, everybody's got to die. Everybody's going in the ground. I didn't say your body wasn't going to the ground. I said you will never die. That spirit that is you is not going to die. If it's going to step out of this life and into the next, And it will eventually go on to be wherever it's going to spend eternity. That's why we need to be ready that when God does call us, whether he comes back for the church and calls us out of this life, or whether he comes for us individually, we're ready to go with him. Yeah, this body's going to go back to dirt. We're told that in the Word. But you and I are not, because you and I are spirit, just like God is. Now, you know, when you go to first get studying the Word of God, and when you first start going to, back then in any church, basically, and you're new and all there, and especially in Bible studies and all, we are all told that there is going to be a time that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. But we're not really told how to get him. And we know there's a lot of things go on that shouldn't be going on. We all need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him know that we are a sinner and that we want him, and invite him to come in and live in us and guide our life. Take our life and guide it. Don't let me do things I shouldn't do. And that's when he will put the Holy Spirit in you that will do exactly that. He will guide you in all things that you need. Now, what we are seeing right now, a lot of awakening going on in mankind. We are seeing more and more of the ministers that hadn't been teaching the Word of God like they're beginning to teach now. We're seeing more and more of them come to the truth of God's Word and start teaching it now more today than we've ever seen before. We are seeing a great awakening. We're going to see a revival, because the Word tells us we will. We're supposed to see this great revival just before his coming. God is getting his people ready for the Lord to come after his church. Because after that, it'll be too late. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And the way we do that is by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the only way you and I can do that is by the study and being equipped with the Word of Almighty God. We've got to have that knowledge. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Leave all them things out. We don't need all of that. But most don't want to do that. We're going to close with this next verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We're not to look at the things of this world out here and want that. We are to be looking up and looking for the things of the kingdom of Almighty God, because it's growing nearer for each one of us every day. And it's not that far off until the Lord's going to be coming for his church. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together for the study of your word. Father, we do love each other. We love mankind. We may not love the sin man commits, but we love that sinner, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to work with all of those that are walking in darkness, Father, and help them to turn and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be forgiven and begin to walk in the light, that light being Jesus, getting into your word, growing in faith and strength, growing in love, that godly love. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, we pray, Father, for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that turned its back and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ and has turned away from the church to the extent, Father, of even closing its doors. Now, Father, help us to replace those in our government that has done this thing, and to replace them with ones that will work for the Lord Jesus Christ, work for the church, and work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is spoken, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, Father. Fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Terry Coates, myself. Father, keep us all filled with the Holy Spirit. Work with us each and every day, all day, Father. Never let us walk astray. Always looking up to your kingdom, searching for those things. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, I pray that you make them not only lighthouses to the community in which they stand, but a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my three pastor friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr and Iron. Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Palance, for Sue and for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father. These all stand in need of a healing touch. We ask, Father, that they be touched with that mighty hand of healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this, Father, now, in Jesus' name, amen. And God bless. Don't forget, God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 5 p.m. So until then, walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Good evening now.